Okay, Hebrews 13. We left off. Yeah, last week we left off at verse 4. But we're going to try to get down maybe to verse, 14. And cut it in half this week and next week. So we'll start there. Yeah. This is we'll pick up at 4 and go down. Actually, we'll just go back to 1 and then come through to 14. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to meet again. We thank you for the privilege we have to read and study your word together. We thank you for those who come out tonight. We hope our minds and our hearts are clear to receive the word. We pray that the scriptures might be clear to us tonight. That we may learn not just what you have intended for the Hebrews, but we might read something that we could apply to our lives, that we might do the things that you find worthy and well-pleasing. We pray for the body of Christ as a whole. We pray for those who have the rule of authority over us. And as we go forward, we just pray that this time, as always, is for your glory and for our edification. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And we got that far last week. And this is just last... the writer is wrapping up the book, wrapping up the letter to the Hebrews, and the practical part is last. And I think we talked about that as most of the epistles are structured that way. You doctrine first, practice second. And or you say doctrine and duty. And that's consistent. When we said that, when you know better, you do better. And God doesn't tell you to take off anything without giving you an alternative to put on. You know, he doesn't ask you to, yes, then leave you naked. He doesn't ask you to empty your mind. It's already empty, but without giving you something to renew your mind. And he doesn't call you and leave you without instruction and in ignorance. Let brotherly love continue. And we talked about that. And this is a time where we talked about it, where the opposition is going to be high. And the enticement, that's not the word I want. I was going to say seduction, but temptation. Yeah, it's going to be high for those who are trying to deceive. And for those Hebrews, they'll have to really be disciplined, focused. And at the same time, you know what's interesting? At the same time, God is, he tells them to watch out. But at the same time, he still wants them to be charitable. You know, you don't. You may have heard this before. You can't isolate yourself. You can only insulate yourself. You can't isolate yourself from the world. You can only insulate yourself against the attacks that might come against you. When I say you, them, they can't isolate themselves from everyone, but those who come in contact with them and those who they come in contact with, they can insulate themselves with doctrine from being enticed, to being persuaded, or being seduced, or being tempted to draw away, to go back. Yes? Okay. Just like us. If you talk to people, you'll meet people who have different ideas about everything, who have different approaches about things. And if you sit down and talk to them, if you're not strong in your doctrine, then you'll say, well, what happened to Blake? Well, he's a Hare Krishna now, or whatever. But that's only because ignorance. And we know, and when we get to our apostle and his epistles, he always says, what? I would not have you, brethren, what?
Ignorant.
To be ignorant. But in his case, he says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And we talked about at that time in their program, the angels will have direct interaction with them again. Not like today, where, you know, every day I see the news and somebody's guardian angel didn't come through. Especially in Lamar Shelby Road area. It's an angel shortage over there. So, but now that's, I'm making light of that, of course, but you have to think something's wrong. And that's wrong. It's just not happening that way today. Verse 3, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. That's just natural compassion. He's still appealing to them to, it's the charitable approach. And he's still appealing to them to be charitable, because you don't know, they don't know who they're coming in contact with. And we talked about when the Lord says, this is when you help me out. And they'll say, well, when did you help me out? And he said, well, when you did it to the least of these, you did it to my brethren, you did it to me. There's always a oneness with God and his people in any program. You do believe that, right? Mm-hmm. We're members one of another. Just like when Paul was on Damascus Road and in the Lord, we talked about that last week. The Lord asked him, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who art thou? And he said, I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest. He never seen Jesus.
He's persecuting his people.
He never seen him. So, but that's how directly associated the Lord is with his people, with us, with the members of his body. You know, you say, well, Lord, if you go different places, I go different places. Lord, come into this place today. Come down, Lord, and send your Holy Spirit and help us do this and help us do that and show up today, Lord, with us. What's wrong with that statement?
A believer has the Spirit with him. He's a part of the body. He's
an ear. He's a part of the body?
He's present.
He's present.
Believers?
He's present.
In each of the believers.
In each one of them. So, you know, if I walked in here, guess who just walked in?
Christ.
How do you know that?
Because he sent
him. Because he dwells where?
In
us. So if I show up, right. You don't have to pray for him to, Lord, come into this place. And I told him, and I'll say this for you guys too, Thursday, I told him that when you go into a place, when you go into a place, you have to think like this. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. You have to go in there thinking, you know what? I'm the man. Or the woman. I'm the woman. Or the man. I'm the person. I'm the
image to uphold.
I'm the... right. You know what? When you go in, right. Like... When I say I'm the man, you know what I'm saying when I say I'm the man. It's like you have the answer. Mm-hmm. When you walk in, you have to think like this. And it may not be right. But unlike Charles Barkley, I might be wrong, but I doubt it. When you walk in, you're going to have the answer to the confusion that's more than likely taking place in there. You do know that, right? Mm-hmm. So when I go in, you just pray for that open door, which is it's open when you walk in there. If there's someone here who's receptive, who's open to reveal that person to me, direct that person to me, that we could have an exchange. That's what I do. And then I make an exchange. Like as many people as you can get to. Because you're the man when you go in. So just because you have a treasure in the earthen vessel when you go in. No, you don't have to have a lot. You don't have to go in like you don't have to go in with all the answers, but you do have an answer. If it's nothing but this, did you know that Paul is your apostle? That's the key. That's a key right there to his understanding. Do you agree with that? And after that, that's an open door. Okay. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. For marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And we covered that last week, and it was my understanding that he's not just talking about the physical marriage, which is always it always stands for a different union, the union between Christ and the people, between the Lord and his people. And that's why he can say marriage is honorable and all, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And that's going to be their temptation, is to go back and join with the system, with to be unfaithful to grace. When I say grace, I'm saying to the grace that's afforded to them, which is they're going on to the New Testament, mm-hmm. waiting for that, looking for that. So not the dispensation of grace. But he says that marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And this, if you ever, when you read Matthew, when they began their ministry, the apostles, 12 apostles, which it flows over to everyone, the first thing he tells them to do is what? Sell everything they have. If you're covetous, what are you going to sell?
You're going to do it in a nice.
You're going to sell as little as you can.
And claim to sell it all.
You're
going to
turn around and go back like Lot's
wife. Right. So, let me ask you this. This is, and we're looking at Hebrews. Why would they be instructed to sell what they had?
So they're not tempted to be caught up into the world system and the world's way of looking at things. Mm-hmm. Be seduced.
Yeah. To go back, because that's part of it. If you can say, like I said, you can say, here, we enjoy these things freely. But when it says, look, Blake, I keep using Blake. Look, Jenny.
Yeah.
unless you sign up here, you get no goods. You get no exchange. And when you sign up here,
it's over.
It's like this. In Daniel, remember what happened in Daniel, right? Where the king writes this edict, and he says, when you hear the music, it's time to bow. And he says, well, we can't do that. And not just that, is we want you to eat what we want you to eat.
Meat sacrifice styles.
And he says, we can't eat that. We can't eat that, and we can't bow, because that's identifying with the system, which is an idolatrous system. So naturally, if they go against it, they get punished. That's not happening today. But if you're watching the news, which there's some things happening, like the frog in the pot. Mm-hmm. There's the heat's just turning up, and you know, it's funny. Frogs are really like that. You know, I could, if I'm doing something sometimes, and I'll see a frog, and you can put your foot like, oh, you can get ready to step on him, and he just sit there. They just sit there. They sit right there, and then you could step on them, and they just won't move. Strange. Don't you see my foot? And he just sits right there.
Well,
so,
or the way they train elephants when they're little, they put the chain around them and they can't pull. And as they get older, they don't even have to do that anymore because the memory, and they no chain, and yet they still think they're bound.
Yeah, and the reason I say that is because the little things happen with us, or what I'll say, our freedoms and liberties take them away, and you think, well, it doesn't bother us because we come over here and we can still walk in the door and nobody's checking your ID or whatever, you know. But
liberties are being taken away.
So yeah, you don't know. Or now, 10 years ago, you didn't have to think of having a gun at church in the building. Now it's something very simple. They say, well, we don't want it to happen. We're going to have two people that's trained in case something happens. Nobody thinks, no, that's great idea. Blake, bring your gun.
We're going to minimize the cash.
So, listen. And don't think that they're not. They're going to come. And suppose a guy comes through who's, he hates Christians. And he's just riding around, and they're looking for. There's one right there, Grace Bible Study. And they pull in, and we only got 8 or 9 people here. Blake didn't bring his gun. The guy comes in. There you go. Do you think that's far-fetched?
No.
Well, maybe here, but I'm saying this. As
anywhere, I mean.
Yeah, well, South Carolina. Those people are, all of a sudden, guy walks in, he sits down. They're thinking, got a new convert today. He gets up, and
right.
You think they ever thought of that? 2017. I'm just saying, things are changing, right? In front of us, and And I'm not just saying in that aspect. We need to look, be aware of what's going on. Anyway, verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's preparing them for the time where they will have to depend on him for their provision. This is all this, I think we were just talking about that. These things just repeat themselves. When Israel comes out of the wilderness, they had to depend on him for their safety, for their substance. They had to. And, you know, one of the, when you get home, read Psalm 78. It's an amazing passage about what happened. And one of the verses in there, they tempted the Lord. And they said, after he delivered them out of Egypt, out of bondage, through the Red Sea, and they come on the other side and they ask a question. They said, okay, Psalm 78. Unless you read a couple of them. You can read a couple. There's a lot of verses, but you can read a couple of them. We can read a couple of them. Psalm 78, verse 1. Tell you what, let's start at verse 1 and just, we'll pick and choose in here. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he had done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be, as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Now, you think, now this is a great testimony to Scripture. Tuesday night they were in Psalms when we first started, and I said, "Well, we have to change that up because you can't just jump over in a Psalm because we want the Psalm to be about us." And he just told you we're in Psalm, and he said, "This is for your children." Not your children, for their children. This is what the Hebrews will have to read. They're the children. They're the generation that this psalm was writing about. That they will remember in their time of temptation, in their time of trial, that they would learn to trust. That they wouldn't be stubborn and rebellious like their fathers. Well, what? They have all this history to look at. Verse 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers. Where?
The land of Egypt.
In the land of Egypt. In the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the waters to stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night a light, with a light of fire. He cleaved the rocks in the wilderness. He gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they thanked him more and more. And, oh, I'm sorry. And they sinned yet more against him by what? Provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, this is what I want. Can God what?
Furnish a table and floors.
What are they really asking him?
Can God provide? Can God do what he says?
You know what they say?
And then again, and then they define what to take for us.
Can he take care of us? He had you out here. They saw all that stuff, and they said, "Can he take care of us?" Yeah. Right. It's right.
It's like, just show me one more sign.
Yeah.
Does covetousness, covetous. Verse 56. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed upon which he placed among men, and he delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. Did you see that verse? He said, what? He said Israel was his what? His strength and his glory. He delivered them into the enemy's hand. He gave his people over unto the sword. Watch this. And was wroth with his what? Inheritance. I don't know what y'all think about that, but when he brought them out, he said, everything I have is invested in you. He was ready.
It's like a parent child.
It was his son. That was his. He was ready to give them the kingdom, ready to give them everything. You know what Paul said about us today?
A lot of things.
Well, all right. He said, you know what? We are his inheritance. Ephesians. Look at Ephesians. Put your hand in Hebrews. Now, if you think about Israel, what he brought them out to do, what he brought them out to give them, what he called them, his strength, his glory, what? His inheritance. All right. Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you.
In the saints.
In you. In you. In you. In you. Jenny, in you. Are you part of the body?
Yes.
You part of the saints? Okay. He said, in you. Okay.
No.
We get ready to get it. He's saying, no, I'm just... I know it's collectively. Mm-hmm. But he's saying it's in you. You're part of it, right? Mm-hmm. You're not just a robot. He said, look, that's why he says, I pray, since I heard that you trusted him, he said, I pray now that he would give you this S, the small S. That's the new man, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Why did he save you? Why did he bring you out of Egypt?
Because he had a purpose for us in heavenly places.
That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is. And he said, I got a lot riding on you. While you cutting up, you say everything invested in her. And you at FedEx cutting up. That's my inheritance. That's my inheritance. I got all my chips are on her. And like, who her? Yes. That's why he said, I'm praying now that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So you'll know what he wants to do with you. Why he saved you. You know what, it never fails. You watch an award show, any TV shows, sporting events, everybody gets up, right, they do what?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank God. It's like, I know that this is what?
His will.
This is a will. I know that's what I'm called for. To do what?
Fleshly things. That's what they always.
Whatever it is.
The will is for us to be reconciled.
And they don't have the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. No, and Paul said, that's what I'm praying for. For since I heard of your, you can't say they're not saved. But you can say that they don't have what?
Knowledge.
They don't have knowledge. That's, and that's a lot. He said, the eyes of your understanding being what? That you may know. That you may know what is the hope. What is the expectation of the reason he called you. When Israel came out of Egypt, did they know what the hope of his calling was? They didn't know. You know what I like? When he came out, the scripture said this. He brought them out, and we discussed all this. He brought them out by their armies. Mm-hmm. They had no idea that they were, because the Lord was going to do battle. They were soldiers, but he would equip them. Mm-hmm. When they came out, They didn't know that. Look, he broke them up into troops. You know, a group here, group here. You know what? The only thing they didn't do was like those, like the when you see them, yeah, when they walking, they're doing everything. Yeah. You ever seen that? Mm-hmm. They're all orderly. Had them in their rows, and the Lord said, "That's my army right there." You remind me of Major Payne. You ever seen Major Payne? That was they had a little ROTC group, and they were falling all over each other. That's going to see Israel coming out. They're stumbling all over each other, falling in each other, and the Lord said, "That's my army right there." Like, them? But he said, you know,
he had to get Egypt out of
them. He said, but that, but you understand what I'm saying is the, he said, that's okay. He said it's gonna be a, it's gonna be a learning curve, but they'll get it. Now for us, he said, that's okay. There'll be a learning curve, but they'll get it. Paul said, well, I'm praying that they get it. Praying that they get it. He said, verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." And, you know, you think about that, he's letting you know that that's what I have invested in the saints. Okay, back to Hebrews. I know we had to finish up there. Verse 5, he says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And that's what we were talking about, the Jewish program is, even though they may not have anything, and he said, "I'm still there," because their life won't be consisted of the abundance of things. They'll have to depend on him. For what did he say? "Take no thought for what you will eat, for what you will wear." He said, "All these things are what the Gentiles look for." You remember reading that verse?
Mm-hmm.
He said, "The workman is worthy of his meat." So he's expecting them now. He says, "If you follow me, I'll take care of you. If you follow me, I will take care of you for them." What about us? Huh?
We gonna be up out
of here. Well, I'm saying just today.
We gotta work for it.
Oh, I'm not talking about your job. I'm saying if you commit. When I say commit to the Lord, if you say, you know, I want to do this. I want to serve more. Would you expect him to take care of you? And what does that look like?
He takes care of your needs. He's not buying you a new Cadillac.
Okay. But that's what we hear, right? Mm-hmm. So if you follow the Lord, this is what he got for you. Houses, cars, yeah. Abundance.
Martyr.
We don't. Yeah. Bring, not that verse.
I know.
Now, nah, watch Timothy. Timothy 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll start at one. We can read this quickly. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing what? Supposing gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. What gain? What does he mean, gain?
Financial, earthly.
They say gain is godliness. They suppose gain is godliness. What's godliness?
Well, they're saying gain is. So
they suppose gain. God. The gain is godliness. What is... Well,
proof of God's promise or proof of God providing?
Proof of, you know, it's proof of they are walking and pleasing God.
Yeah.
Say it again.
They're blessed.
It's proof. They said, look, there's the proof that I'm godly, which is I'm doing what God wants. I'm working with him. I'm blessed. I'm blessed because look at what I have.
Mm-hmm.
They suppose that gain is what? Now, this is what your apostle said about him, which means this is what the Lord said about them. This is what God said about them who say that gain is godliness. He said what? He said they suppose gain is godliness. But, well, let's go back to 5 first. Perverse disputings of men of what? Corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. That's rough, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
He said, listen, if you find a preacher or a believer who says that gain is proof that I'm being blessed, he said, this is what the verse said, that he's what? He has a perverse disputing, he has a corrupt mind, and he's destitute of what?
Truth.
That's rough, man. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
He said, from such what?
Withdraw
thyself. Now, this is for you. This is for us. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can what? Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This is your apostle. This is what he wrote. He said, with food and clothing to be what?
Crazy. That's not even a house. That's just...
We're a long way from content, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
But think about this. if he says that you should be content with that, look at the abundance that we live in. You haven't worn all the clothes in your closet yet. And you still buy. Yep.
We won't say how they won't fit. Okay.
The same principle where he told, back to Hebrews, where he tell the Hebrews to not be covetous. In verse, 11 or 13, where let your conversation be without covetousness, and be what?
Content
with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, again, they'll have this time is coming where the pressure will be on them. And he's letting them know, I'll be there. Remember them which have the rules, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's saying to them, remember those who have the rule over you, and what? Who have spoken unto you the word of God. That's those spiritual leaders at that time. He says, remember them whose faith follow. Here you go, Blake. Considering the end of their conversation. That doesn't mean their conversation like conversation, speaking back and forth. Remember the end of their life, the end of their lifestyle, the way they live their life. Now, what was the way they, well, how did they live their life? Not the ones who spoke unto them the word of God.
No.
How do they live? We just read a couple of weeks ago how they lived their life.
Yeah.
Being content.
They were like almost living off what others were providing them.
You don't have to guess. We're going to look. Watch this. Just flip back. Flip back to chapter 11. Okay. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And then he starts listing all those people that were before them. Right? Verse 12, or chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, he got two groups of people that were before them. Now, their conversation, their lifestyle spoke to these Hebrews now. What did their lifestyle say?
Talking about the early Jews?
Yeah, the early ones that you see their testimony in there. And the 12, the cloud of witnesses, you see their testimony, their conversation. And he says, remember the end of their faith. Remember their end of their conversation. Their life. Let's read it again. There you go. They what? they suffered as what?
Martyrs.
Yes, as martyrs, as witnesses. And he said, is this encouraging to them? He said, this is what you have to look forward to. He said this. He said,
you're going
to die. That's basically what he's saying. He's saying, remember them which has the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now you said, man, that doesn't, I don't like that. But he throws it in. He said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now we use that to say he doesn't change. Well, he just showing them now. He said, look, the Lord is, he changed because they were under the law.
His instructions changed.
They were under the law. He said, well, we just changed. We are changing from that. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, we're waiting for the kingdom. And he says, well, in a little while. Not right now, but in a little while. They're thinking, he just changed twice. So you don't want to follow somebody that's a waffler, do you? And he says, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, forever. He's still faithful. He's still going to take care of them. He's still going to bring to fruition what he promised.
He's still on track with his plan.
He's still on track.
It's all still faith based.
And you just have to believe it. For them, they have to believe it. They have to trust the Father in his provision. Mm-hmm. Now that's, you can say that until you're in the thick of it. But that's why he says in the next verse, be not what? Carried about with divers and strange doctrines. See, it's nothing like the first thing I thought of when I just read that is this. The Lord, he told Abraham, he says, you will have a son. That's his promise. Well, 10 years later, it hadn't happened. And he says, well, Sarah says, not that Sarah. Sarah says, maybe it's her. That's a strange doctrine right there. Mm-hmm. That means that's not what he said. He said it's us. And Sarah says, well, maybe it's Hagar. He said, maybe you're right. And he goes in to Hagar. He's carried away. And look at the mess. Look at the mess he made. And in this case, he says, be not carried away. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is good. It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And he tell them, don't go back to the system. He said, don't go back to the system. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. He said, their trust is in the law. He says, our altar, our provision is with the Lord. He said, if you go back to this, there's nothing there. They don't have a right to partake of this. He says, that's us. That's our opportunity that we have. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. He's starting to give you an example. He's saying, just like they burn those sacrifices outside the camp, he says, wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered what? Without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without what? Bearing his reproach. And he said, just like the priest, when he killed the sacrifice, it was outside the camp. He said, the Lord was outside the camp. He said, now you have to come outside the camp unto him. The camp is the religious system. Now, that's a... I can say now this is after being doing this for a long time is I never had an opportunity to be mixed in the camp. When I say the camp, man, religious people, all I've really ever known was this. Now I don't know about, I know that's all she knows, but if you've ever been around religious people, you know that it's hard to stand for something like this, especially that when you start talking about it and they say, where do you get that from? Who told you that? And you can see it's right here. And I don't want to read that. We've been doing this for 50 years. I never heard of Paul. I never heard of the stuff you're talking about. I was like, it's right here. And they're like, no. I remember James the other day, where he was coming over here, and they were like, his family was like, that ain't no church. Like, where are you going? And they came over, and then they say, that's not a church.
And that's not part of their system or the rituals.
It's outside the camp. Mm-hmm. It's outside the camp. And look, don't tell me that it's not hard to make an adjustment. I'm up here. And when I go to the camp, you know what? It's fun at the camp. You see things happening, you know, there's a lot happens at the camp, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You like, I like camping. But you realize that it's either the camp or truth. You said, well, it's a little truth in the camp. Sure. But guess what you're going to give up to stay in the camp? If you give me 5, you give me 10. If you give me 10, you give me 20. Wouldn't you? After a while, you broke. And you say, oh, it won't happen to me. Okay. Or
can't fit in without bending to their will.
Because it's you against the camp. And sure. So, okay. All in favor of baptism. We just use that. That's where everybody get hung up. All in favor of baptism? Aye. All opposed? You going to raise your 20?
To 1.
Hey. You gonna like, wow, okay. It's not that important. Like Senator Corker. He's like, everybody voted for the bill except him. It took a lot. Only to see what happens to him. But the appeal is still there for them to go outside the camp, to go on. And they says, let us go forth, verse 13, therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. That's the key. They're not just going forth to make a statement. They're going forth, what? Unto him. Bearing his reproach. Now you said, well, that's Hebrews. Sure. But the principle is there. Is not. That's
that's wrong doctrine.
Talk to a guy tonight. He's like, what's the good word? Then I said, the good word? I said, well, it's a holiday, you know, it's holiday month, holiday coming up. And he said, no, that's not what I mean. He said, I thought you was going to say Jesus. And I was like, yeah, that's the good word. Definitely that's a good word. He said, that's what it's all about. That's the reason for the season, you know. And I said, yeah, you know. And see, when people say those things, my mind automatically defaults to, like, the technical, the doctrinal part, where I'm saying, well, he ain't in the manger no more. It's like he's highly exalted, and, you know, and with a whole nother set of instructions. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's the good word, but we've already been through those things. So I'm like, why, you know, we don't even need to do that dance. So I just sit back and, yeah. You gotta know this. You're gonna always be in the minority. Mm-hmm. Even in the majority, those who are committed, you're in the minority. Let me rephrase that. If you're in the camp, just say you are in the camp. In the camp. In the camp, if you are a learner, if you're committed to learning and growing, you are in the minority. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're outside the camp, you're really in the minority. Now, if you're outside the camp and committed to learning and growing, you are still in the even smaller. He says, that's okay. Let's go forward. Without the camp. Bearing his reproach. You know what? Yeah, that's the Franklins. Yeah, they religious fanatics, you know. They don't believe in this and they don't believe in that. And yeah, I don't know where they go, but they don't even dress up.
I like
that. No. That's introversion.
But anyway, that's you get the idea. Mm-hmm. So let's stop there. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We pray, as always, that the time spent here was for your glory. And we pray that it was for our edification. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.